You're listening to the La Jolla Cosmetic Podcast.
Welcome, everyone, to the La Jolla Cosmetic Podcast. I'm your hostess, Monique Ramsey. And today we're going to welcome back to the show Dr. Luke Swiston. And if you listened to our last podcast, you heard him talk about getting ready for his laser procedure, his laser date with his wife. So welcome back, Dr. Swiston.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
So to catch the audience up, in case you missed our part one, I just want to hear about how things turned out. Dr. Swiston had a combination of the BBL and the Halo laser treatment with Julia Jowett, our PA in the medical spa. And BBL stands for broadband light, and the Halo is a fractional laser that's made by Cyton, and it's great for sunspots, texture, hyperpigmentation, wrinkles, and even some scars. So this was your first laser treatment ever, and when we talked to you on the day of your treatment, you said you thought it would either be a relaxing experience or that it might feel like pins and needles or burning. So which of your predictions was right?
I think it was a little bit of everything in this case. I think it was both, just because the relaxing part of it was the fact that I could let somebody else take the helm on a patient care and become the patient. So that was the fun part. The experience itself was very tolerable. I know, I think we'll talk about the different modes of anesthesia that we use for this. I think the nitrous oxide is very effective, and I'll comment on that a little bit later. But overall, yes, it was pins and needles, but it was very tolerable pins and needles. And that modality lets you distance yourself as far away from the procedure as you want. So that's a very, very effective way of doing it.
And what do you mean by that?
The nitrous oxide basically is probably the most effective part of the anesthesia that we used. I know we used a couple of different things like numbing cream. One other option that I didn't use was, you know, a little bit of a sedation medication. And then the nitrous oxide, which is basically gas, it's essentially laughing gas, which we breathe in order to stun the pain receptors a little bit. And I think the value of that modality is that the patient controls how much they inhale and therefore how much of an anesthesia they get. And they still remain conscious throughout the procedure, but they can really control how much gas they inhale and therefore the effect. And it's just an interesting experience. I've never actually had this before. And knowing what I know about physiology and learning in medical school about different things, I can sort of picture that it affects specifically very specific receptors, but not others, so that, again, you can remain conscious and make conscious decisions during this process. But at the same time, you're very removed from the experience. So it's a little bit of a surreal feeling. But, you know, again, not scary, very relaxed and stuff. And I felt like I was in control the whole time. And it was kind of up to me to titrate that gas.
So you had the topical numbing cream put on about what, an hour before?
I think it was about an hour before, yes.
So that helps numb the skin.
Correct.
And you had that on your face. Now, did you have, I think somebody tell me you ended up having laser on your arms too, or your hands?
No, it was the neck as well.
Oh, your neck. Okay. So does the numbing cream go on your neck as well?
Yes, it did go on my neck. And that was actually the least painful part.
I saw in the video, you got some in your mouth, and I've done that before. And it's the weirdest yucky feeling to have that,
oh, yeah,
like on your tongue, that weird
numbing cream.
Yeah. So then during the treatment, between those two things, and the reason you chose not to have any kind of sedation or is you wanted to drive yourself home. Is that correct?
Correct.
Yeah. So I think that's a really nice thing for people to know, because not everybody can get a ride home from a treatment like this. And, you know, you don't necessarily need one if you aren't taking any narcotics. So tell us about what it felt like afterward and then later in the day, because you were talking about going out to dinner that night. You had some friends coming into town. So tell me about that experience right after the procedure.
It was just like Julia basically predicted. It felt like a sunburn essentially for a couple of hours, maybe. And then it just calmed down and it wasn't painful at all. But I think the only residual effect after that is the swelling. And it's most pronounced around my eyes, at least in my case. You know, I had pretty aggressive treatment to the upper and the lower eyelids. That is very thin skin that does swell significantly once you have a treatment like this. So as long as I wore sunglasses, I was actually perfectly okay. We had some guests visiting from out of town, which we warned them about that this is going to happen. And when they saw me, they're like, okay, yeah, you're swollen, but it's fine. We went to one restaurant after another over the weekend to take them out. And really the only thing I changed about the experience is I wore sunglasses the entire time. So it gave me an excuse to wear sunglasses at night, fulfill that dream. But it was perfectly effective. I don't think anybody noticed. I just maybe looked a little bit sunburned on the face, which is very common in San Diego anyway. And as long as you hide your eyes, nobody can really tell.
Now, we learned a couple things from Julia when we talked to her about your treatment. She said you were a very good patient, so kudos. Okay.
Thank you.
Now, she mentioned that you had the corneal shields to protect your eyes. Tell us about what that felt like.
Perfectly normal. I'm sort of familiar with the experience, not on myself, but I use corneal shields when I do surgery on patients to protect their eyes. So it was interesting to experience that awake. But between the numbing medication that she put on my eyes and the lubrication medication, the corneal shields were literally not a big deal. Just kind of lifted up my eyelid and they slipped right in there. And then at the end of the procedure, she took them out and there was nothing.
Oh, that's good. And then she was talking about a cold air blower kind of that during the treatment. Is that something that she used or is that something you directed yourself?
I think she used it because I think the only thing I had in my hand was the nitrous oxide inhaling device. Mm-hmm. So afterwards, to relieve a little bit of that sunburn effect, I did have the cold air blower, but that was after she was done with the procedure. During the procedure, it wasn't me. If somebody else was holding it, that's possible. I don't know.
Now, your wife also had laser treatment at the same time. Well, right after you. And Julia said she was a hoot. She really enjoyed having her there. And what was it like doing this together?
Yeah, well, she's way funnier than I am. It was fun because it kind of gave us the chance to disconnect from the rest of the world and just kind of focus on this together experience that we had. Her treatment was a little bit less aggressive because, one thing that Julia identified is melasma on her, which is something that you really should pre-treat with medication, with hydroquinone for a couple of weeks prior to the laser treatment. So that's not something that we identified before. I had Dominica come to, a regular consultation as we normally schedule, then, that would have been identified and treated prior to her actual laser date. But we just kind of coordinated this at not so much at the last minute, but she didn't have time to come in before. So she didn't get that evaluation. So therefore, we decided to be a little bit less aggressive with her laser treatment just to account for that.
Now, did she have the same laser or a different one?
She did not. I think she believed she just had the BBL, but not the halo.
Okay. Now, how many days has it been?
13.
Oh, 2 weeks.
Yeah, almost 2 weeks. So it would be 2 weeks tomorrow.
Okay. And I saw some pictures come over today with you right after then that next day and then a couple days later. And so we'll add those into the show notes because it's really amazing to me to see you the day after and you are swollen. And yeah. You look like you had something done. And then by day six, it was like perfect. I mean, I don't know, I guess I expected that if you look that, not, I don't want to say bad, but it's obvious you had a treatment. And if you look like that on day one, that it would take maybe 2 weeks to look back to normal. And really by day six, it's like you're right back to normal. And other than having a little beard that you probably weren't shaving, right?
Yeah, I was instructed not to.
Yeah. So other than that, really, I mean, it was like pretty stunning. So I encourage you all in the audience to look at the show notes and see this progression of these photos so you get an idea of what you would look like after having this treatment. And like you said, you did the face and neck, but really focused on the eyes. So maybe that's why your eyes are more swollen.
The joke around the office was that I looked like a swollen baby. I think that's a very accurate description. Yeah, and the eyes show it the most. And you can see on that very first picture post-op day one, Saturday morning, especially after sleeping, after laying down, I think it's a little bit worse when you wake up. And then as you get up and walk around after a few hours, some of that swelling goes away. So the rest of your day is good. But then you go back to sleep again. On day two, it was almost back to the same as on day one, just because I spent the night in bed in a sleeping position. But then it started getting better and better. So I did have a surgery on Monday morning. And, really my concern at that point was like, I want to make sure I can keep my eyes open. And that was not a problem at all.
And that would be important.
Yeah, it was never really a problem, but it was, when they're swollen, it's a little bit of an effort to make sure. But that was only a concern, post-op day one and maybe two. By Sunday night, everything was fine. And then certainly Monday morning, not an issue at all. I still looked swollen. There was some pigment coming off. There's like this coffee grounds that I believe that Julia refers to. Uh-huh. But basically, some of that pigment is now flaking off, and it's important not to rub it off, just let it come off by itself, not to create any additional scarring. So that was happening. But other than that, everything was sort of back to normal.
Now, what were your post-op instructions? So, you know, what did she have you do to take care of your skin in that first week?
So moisturize, which I was diligent for a couple of days. And once things were back to normal, I kind of forgot. And then avoid the sun. If you do go out in the sun, then put on sunblock. And that's included in our package, which is very convenient. I really tried to avoid the sun for the first 2 days anyway. And that's about it.
And I think really the risk for the sun is because your skin has been ablated or taken off and it's more sensitive. And we don't want you to get any extra pigmentation, any brown, because any amount of sun is going to kind of...
Essentially, the pigment, which is normally protective, has sort of been removed from the surface. So now it's the UV exposure is a little bit more dangerous, I guess, for lack of a better word. So obviously you want to avoid that until you regrow that outer layer of skin to protect yourself from the sun again.
Now, can you see any difference yet?
Yeah, for sure there's a difference. And I think the easiest way to see it is if you just walk into the room. I still have a couple of spots here and there, but they're significantly much more faded than they used to be. They're not as pronounced. I have vitiligo, as you noted. The laser wasn't deep enough to depigment me completely, to basically bleach me, because that would be the next step. If I really wanted to get rid of all vitiligo, then bleaching is really the next step. It just take off the layer of skin that has any pigment in it and turn me completely white. That was not the goal. That's not what this laser does. But it definitely blended the lines, the transition. So I think it just fades everything out and makes it smoother. It's almost like putting an Instagram filter on your face.
Oh.
So I think that's the best description of it.
Now, did you look at your Vizia photos?
I did the one before. I did not take one today. Okay. I actually asked about that, but I wondered if there's going to be a significant difference there.
Yeah, we'd be interested to see that. So let's find out when she wants to do those and we can put them in the show notes at that time. So for anybody who's curious, along with to watch Dr. Swiston's progression, the girls have been filming you, right? So we'll put together a whole start to finish video. And then, like I said, in the show notes, there's before and after pictures of Dr. Swiston, but there's also then links to before and after pictures of Halo on our website. And then, so you were back to work on Monday doing surgery. And I figure if you can go back to work right away, then all of us can. You're doing a much more important job doing surgery on people. So that's good to know that really do it on a Friday and by Monday, you're in good shape.
Yeah. Functionality was never really an issue. I think the appearance was a little bit of an issue. So on Monday during the clinic hours, I did tell my patients, hey, you know, I feel like I owe you an explanation because I didn't wear my sunglasses to clinic. You know, that would be rude. But I did say like, my eyes are swollen because I just had treatment. And half of the patients like, oh yeah, we saw it on Instagram, you know.
Oh, good, so, good.
But by Wednesday, it was not even a conversation point anymore.
Now, what would you tell a patient who's considering doing laser resurfacing now that you've done it yourself?
I think it's worth it if they're the right candidate. Obviously, I would go for an evaluation with Julia and ask what she thinks is the best treatment. It has its limitations, but definitely, you know, for someone who kind of has the skin that I do, I'm not really in need of any major surgery yet. I'm not really qualified for a facelift. I could probably use an upper blepharoplasty, but I think it's a little early. But, you know, there's these fine wrinkles that sort of creep in around your eyes. There's these pigment changes because we live in San Diego, so sun is unavoidable, and that causes that in the long term. So basically just smoothing that out, you know, resurfacing the skin is a great way to jump back about 10 years or so. Again, this is my first, and we just jumped right into it. And again, the patient is very much in control of how much anesthesia they get. And I think that's the biggest take-home point is I think that's what made it the easiest.
And that's really good to know, because I think most of us, we might have concerns about how long are we going to be off work or have downtime socially. But I think at the heart of it all, a lot of us are worried about what it'll feel like during and concerned about pain. I mean, it's an obvious natural concern for people to have. So it's nice to know that I've never had that laughing gas before either. So I wouldn't know what that kind of disconnected feeling is. But I think, did you feel like you were in La La Land, or did you feel very much part of the room?
It was strange. You know, I don't know what to compare it to because I've never done drugs in my life. But But it was as if like you're there, you're in full control, but at the same time, you're distant from the actual painful experience of it. So it's difficult to describe, but it's as if you're looking at yourself from above and seeing like, okay, that is happening to that skin down there on the table. And I'm just a little bit above it. And again, how far above is up to you. Oh. If you want to be further away from the experience, you just breathe in the gas a little bit more and it takes you a little bit further away. And then as soon as you're comfortable, then you stop breathing in the gas and then you slowly start coming back. But again, you're in full control of it. At least I was. So if you want to gesture with your hands or do anything, you can still do that. You're not out of it completely. Uh-huh. So it's a very specific receptor that gets affected, but not the rest of them.
And how long does it take till you sort of, that wears off? Is it minutes or?
It's minutes. Yeah. It's literally minutes. Like even after less than a minute, you start feeling, you know, transitioning back in. And then if something uncomfortable is still happening, all you have to do is just make the decision to take a little bit more gas. And then you're back to where you're comfortable again.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Makes me want to have laser just to experience it. All right. Well, if anybody has questions, check the show notes. You've got all kinds of links there. And thank you again, Dr. Swiston. And make sure you give us your updates as you look like you're totally healed. But, you know, when you go in, I think Julia said it 2 months. She wants to take a look again and maybe look at the Vizia then at that point too to see how your skin's come along.
I think if I rub my eyes a little bit too hard, then I still turn a little bit red a little bit faster than I expect. But overall, I look pretty normal now. So
yeah, I would say so. All right. Well, thank you. And we'll see you again next time.
Thank you very much. Thanks for the experience.
Take a screenshot of this podcast episode with your phone and show it at your consultation or appointment, or mention the promo code podcast to receive $25 off any service or product of $50 or more at La Jolla Cosmetic. La Jolla Cosmetic is located just off the I-5 San Diego Freeway in the ZyMed building on the Scripps Memorial Hospital campus. To learn more, go to ljcsc.com or follow the team on Instagram at ljcsc. The La Jolla Cosmetic Podcast is a production of The Axis, THEAXIS.io.